The good news for this morning is found in John chapter 17. This is taking place in the night that Jesus is having the Last Supper with his disciples, and he is praying. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. The Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. The focus of my sermon today is actually going to be on the first reading from Acts chapter 1. As Pastor Dean said at the beginning of our service last week, Thursday, we celebrated Ascension Day, and we are on our way to Pentecost. And so here in Acts, we find the disciples sitting, trying to figure out what to do next. Jesus has ascended and left them there. His physical presence has left, and he has given them instructions to wait in Jerusalem, to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And so they're getting ready for whatever is next. And so they realize that their numbers are one short now after Judas has left. And so they are trying to fill that spot, trying to figure out who will replace Judas. Perhaps you could say that this group of people gathered here was the very first call committee, trying to replace someone who is doing ministry. I hear a lot of people as I'm out and about asking about what's going on with the call committee. I'm just going to here at Calvary, and I'm just going to remind you, check your messenger, and next week I believe we'll have a temple talk with an update. We pastors don't have an inside scoop on what is going on. We learn as you do. So I just want to give you that disclaimer, no matter what the title of my sermon is, okay? You maybe also have heard the news of transition of one of our faith formation coordinators, of Ashley Gilbertson, as she is moving on to become a teacher at KMS. And we are sad to see her go, but excited for the new possibilities for her. So I think this is an appropriate text for where we are in our congregation. And I think, well, maybe we should just start casting lots too, huh? The disciples are here casting lots to replace Judas. Now, maybe you say, well, what is casting lots? Well, in modern day comparison, it would probably be the same as a roll of a dice or a flip of a coin. In ancient times, they maybe used coins as well, or some kind of special sticks or cards or something. But as I read this text, I thought, well, this seems to be maybe a little crazy way to choose someone for such an important job. But there's good reason for doing this, if you think about it. I think the primary reason people would cast lots was to render an impartial, unbiased decision. This way, no one could be accused of human intervention, of nepotism or politics or favoritism. It was just the roll of the dice or the flip of the coin. And there's actually evidence that in ancient Israel, the high priests of Israel would use this method from time to time to casting lots to make important decisions. And in fact, in the book of Proverbs, it states, "The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord." An impartial practice like this can stop arguments and contentions between people, and maybe prevent them from occurring in the first place. And again, in Proverbs, it says, "Casting lots causes contentions, arguments, to cease and keeps the mighty apart." So there's good reason to use this practice, isn't there? Keeps things impartial. It keeps people from fighting. So maybe that's why the disciples turned to this process. But it's more than just a flip of a coin here in Acts. If you notice, they have a set of qualifications laid out. It needs to be a man, someone who has been with the ministry of Jesus from the beginning, someone who was a witness to the ascension and the resurrection. And as well as it was rooted in prayer. In a verse preceding what we read today, it says the disciples were gathered together, constantly devoting themselves to prayer. And then in verse 24, before they did this, it says, "Then they prayed." So while it seems kind of a silly thing, oh, casting lots and maybe kind of something just by chance, they also put some thought into it. They had criteria, and they prayed about it. And so this story got me thinking about a few things as I thought about how it relates to our life as a congregation and maybe our lives as individuals. So here's four things. I know it's not a good three-point sermon, but here's four things. First of all, I thought about our vote last week, our congregational vote on whether we would sell some farmland that was given to us as a gift. The vote did not pass because it did not reach the 2/3 majority that was required for a sale of land. But it really ended up being split pretty close to 50-50 in terms of who was in favor and who was against. We had some heated emotions. Some people, at least, had some heated emotions leading up to this, and I think afterwards. But as I look at this story of how the early disciples made decisions, I think we need to remember that either way the vote would have gone, God is still at work. There are pluses and minuses on either side of this issue, right? Both sides have their positive things, and both sides, we could say, have some negative things. But the important thing is that as a congregation, we continue to listen prayerfully to God and to one another as we go forward into the future. And we need to remember that we should be grateful that we are faced with a decision like this in the first place. What a wonderful gift, what a wonderful asset we have to be making decisions about in order to use for the ministry at Calvary. So point number one, God is at work. I also think about Calvary's call committee, obviously, as I have already made a comparison, and our call committee is working hard. I don't know details, but I know that they're meeting. I see them meeting. They are working with their set of criteria, just as the disciples laid out their criteria. Our call committee's criteria was gleaned from conversations at transition team meetings last fall, from things the transition team heard and passed along to the call committee. I know that the call committee is meeting diligently, regularly, and prayerfully. And eventually, they will be interviewing candidates. You may be sitting there, I know some of you are at least, concerned, maybe worried about who will be the next leader at Calvary Lutheran Church, the next pastor. What kind of leader will they be? What kind of person will they be? And I know for many of us who are engaged and connected with the congregation, we worry sometimes about the future of the church in general. But again, this text is a reminder to us that in a time of pastoral and staff transition, God is at work. God is at work. Even though this particular group of disciples followed a process and carefully chose Judas's replacement, you know what's also interesting to me? Matthias, who was chosen, is never mentioned again. So as important as that decision seemed at the time, we don't know anything else about Matthias. And so maybe it was important, but not that important, right? That he became part of the larger group of witnesses as we are all called to be. And even while the disciples were busy setting their criteria and praying and casting lots, God was already at work preparing to call other people, preparing to call people such as Saul, who became Paul, and Lydia, and the Ethiopian eunuch. And if you want to know who these people are, go read your book of Acts. These are all other followers who appear in the book of Acts who would not have met the criteria set by the disciples for Judas's replacement. And yet, they are also important apostles and disciples. So as we go forward in our process here at Calvary, be open. Be prepared to maybe be surprised at who God will choose, at who is there. And once again, I have no inside information. But this story would tell us we don't know how God works. As an aside and as an example, last weekend in our ELCA, there were some bishop elections and some other synods. And there were two historical elections in southeastern Pennsylvania and south central Wisconsin. Each of those synods elected African American female bishops. The face of the ELCA is changing, God's Spirit is moving. Let us be prepared to be surprised. But point two, again, God, the Holy Spirit, is already at work. But then let's take it to a personal level. And as I think about this story, it reminds me to not overthink things when I am faced with a big decision. If they can just cast lots, right, to make a decision, maybe I shouldn't get so hung up on making sure that I make the perfect, the right decision when faced with something challenging in my life. We can agonize, right, weighing the pros and cons, back and forth, sleepless nights when we are faced with something big. And yes, one example to follow is prayer that the disciples used. But if they can choose a replacement through the process of chance, maybe I need to worry less and trust God more. It's graduation season, and we have a lot of young people facing decisions, which door to go through. I know throughout life, people are grappling with decisions of where to live, stay in your home, move to an assisted living place. Where should we move mom and dad to as they age? And all kinds of other decisions. But it's important to remember, whatever the decision, whether we are choosing which open door or we are just praying about the doors that are closed that we want to be open, God goes with you. God is still with you always. So point three, God goes with you. And then finally, my last point and thought about this verse, this text. In the end, it's really all about being witnesses to the resurrection. That's the bottom line for choosing this replacement for Judas. This is what that first call committee is all about. Who is going to be a witness to the resurrection? And we are all called to that same task. It is more than what to do with buildings and land. It is more than finding the perfect pastor to lead us. It is more than making the perfect, right, clear life decision. It is about remembering that we are called to be witnesses, to witness that God is at work in the world even before we show up, that God is with us through all kinds of life situations, and that God loves us. And even more importantly, God loves the world. We are called to be witnesses in this time and place, and the world, I would say, needs to hear this and experience this more than ever. So how will you share this? How will you witness to God's love? Go roll the dice. Take a chance and see what God has in store for you. Amen.